Well, let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you that your precious word has been given to us to guide us. And Lord, in an unsure age that we live in, how wonderful it is to have promises from you, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you're with us till the end of the age, that nothing is too hard for any of us, Lord, through you, and that nothing is unusual that we go through. And Lord, help us to cling heavier to you and less to this world and less to the things that we think are so important. Teach us now, Lord. Be our teacher and our guide, and we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you'd like to open up to Acts 19, we're starting in verse 21. It just throws me, this riot that goes on in Ephesus. Now, last week you saw pictures of this, where there's a road, and then there's the amphitheater, and there was 25,000, they figure, in the amphitheater, all yelling out for Diana of the Ephesians. And where was Paul? He wanted to get in that amphitheater in the worst way, because there was 25 lost people he wanted to talk to. But people, his friends, wisely warned him, don't go in there, don't go in there. They'll chop you up. You won't survive. And fortunately, Paul listened to his friends, because it would have been a very dangerous situation. In Acts 19:21, Paul mentions Rome. And you're going to be looking at that again next week in our lesson. And he knows that one day he's going to stand before Caesar and give him the gospel. And God had promised him that. And then he's trying to get together a love offering to send to Jerusalem. I even called my son on this, because I thought, why, if Jerusalem had been destroyed by Titus in AD 70, why would he be getting together an offering? And he said, well, news traveled very, very slowly. You know, today we have instant news. And if you don't have instant news, you got somebody with a cell phone that can take a picture of it. So there's no time lapse at all. And we forget that sometimes it took months before anyone got the message. Anyway, so then Satan attacks, incites the guild of the silversmiths. And you say, well, wait a minute, you said that Satan couldn't touch anybody that was a believer. And, he can certainly stir, and he can certainly raise people up that are already evil. I think those 21 Coptic Christians in Egypt had such a horrible situation, and yet you can't tell me that wasn't demonic. You can't tell me that it wasn't demons behind those executioners, behind those people. Oh yeah, they were evil, but all the enemy had to do is come in and just give them a little nudge, and they were right there, ready to take off their heads. Just horrible situation. So just know that Satan is alive and well, and put on your armor every morning when you get up. It's good advice. Well, Paul had gone through 3 years of ministry in Ephesus. Now the city is stirred up, and Paul listens to his friends, and he doesn't go into the amphitheater. So he, what is the problem? Did he really start a riot? No. What happened is he had so many people converted to Christ that they just stopped buying those silver things. You know, they why have an image in your house if you have the Lord? You don't need it. So it really cut back on business. So what did Demetrius do? He he was promoting idolatry and immorality in order to make a living. The silversmiths were concerned about their jobs, their income, and they weren't concerned about Diane. They were concerned about money, as always. So they got up a mob. I found this quote from Benjamin Franklin. I thought it was so good. He says that a mob was a monster with heads enough, but no brains. Isn't that good? It just seems that we've seen quite a few mobs recently, and you know perfectly well they're up to no good. So it's really sad to see people who permit themselves to be led by manipulation. I don't have my rung here. I know. I need a lazy boy. Well, Demetrius used two things that the Ephesians love. They love their city and they love their Diana. And then they tried to seize Paul, but they couldn't find him, so they took Gaius and Aristarchus. And it reminded me of this story that a relative in our family was up for a raise at his job. So I put it in my prayer book that this would come about. And so about a few days ago, I asked him how it was going. He said, well, his boss had called him in, and he wanted him to go around and license the marijuana shops in San Francisco. And this relative of our family said, no, I can't do that. I tell my children not to get involved in pot, and I don't want to be involved myself. So what did it cost him? It cost him a raise. But the interesting thing is his boss told him, well, I'm a Christian, and it doesn't bother me a bit licensing those, they call them clubs, cannabis clubs. And do you know how many are in San Francisco that are legal? 30. And but they're not licensed yet. So it's just a matter of another election, and we'll see that probably everybody will be on pot in San Francisco. So if there's an earthquake, we'll probably miss it. But the sad truth is, I learned a lot about pot, is that for $100, you can grow some in your home if you want. Now, he told me that these fires that suddenly happen in homes are caused by lighting. In order to grow cannabis, you have to have a lot of light, a lot of warmth. So these lights have to run day and night, and because you want a good crop. So he said that they go around the electrical box in your house, and they rewire it so they can have the electricity on all the time and not have to pay for it. So don't come to my house. I don't have any. See, I have to behave in here. It's terrible. But I didn't know it was that easy. It's very easy to get a car to grow pot. So very sad time, because our kids obviously get right into it. And this person lost their raise, but well worth it. Well, Paul wanted to go in the amphitheater, and they kept him out. So how did they ever stop this mob scene? Is a city clerk went into the amphitheater to quiet him down. It was a good thing it wasn't another Jew, or it wasn't Paul himself, because he used the same tactics as the silversmith had used to get them thinking about their beautiful city, plus Diana, this goddess. And I guess if you had a chance to look that up, it's pretty interesting. I have it here someplace. She was kind of homely. as you saw the pictures last week. I wanted to just read this little bit here I found. It said, she was many-breasted. It was a lewd Semitic moon goddess, Ashtoreth, and she was the great Asiatic nursing mother of gods. which took care of men, animals, plants, and was the patroness of sexual instinct. How about that? And so people bought these beautiful images to put them in their home. And of course, it all started with Zeus, who threw down a meteorite that looked like a breast. And they just kind of got carried away with it. Of course, Paul had nothing to do with that. And the thing that just really stood out in these verses that we've been looking at of Paul is that he didn't go into a city and say, this is wrong and that's wrong. He wouldn't have done like I would have done and said, well, your religion's all wrong. Look at that woman, she's awful looking. Or, you know, that's the way I would have done it and had no friends. But he didn't do that. He just gave them truth. And if you know that Jesus loves you, that's all people need to hear. God is bringing all kinds of people into our country that have no clue about Jesus Christ. And he's bringing all kinds of neighbors in. We have Muslim neighbors where we are. And just tell them that Jesus loves them, has a plan. He can take away sin and died for them. You don't have to go any farther than that. If they reject that, that's fine. It's they at least know where you stand. Now, the only people today that visit Ephesus are archaeologists and people on Holy Land tours, which you saw some pictures last week of. And it was really worth seeing because Ephesus, you can tell, must have been a very beautiful place at one time, especially with the water coming up to it. But you know, God just changed all that. He just let all that silt and all that sand come down, and now it's 5 miles to the water. And so he just put a stop to it. Well, it's interesting to think, too, that all this area has been forgotten, but Paul is still known, still well known and honored, and all the rest are gone. And aren't you glad we don't have somebody like Diana? And yet here we have, we so see people worshiping pleasure, and that's where pot would fit in, worshiping pleasure. Then we go over into Acts 20, and moving right along, huh? Didn't take too long to get to the end, does it? And this seems really a sad thing. That song that we had this morning, I was so glad Joni keeps repeating it. It came from my friend in North Carolina, the one that tears are the language that God understands. Those are just beautiful words. And you think, well, if I were really a strong Christian, I wouldn't have any tears. Nonsense. God built you with tears. That's a wonderful release. And he understands that language. So have a good cry once in a while. It's saying goodbye to Paul. Wouldn't that have been tough? You know, Paul so represented Jesus Christ that people wanted to be around him. You ever known anybody like that? I know when I was a new believer, I wanted to be around other Christians and have them rub off on me. I didn't realize, oh, you have to study the word. Oh, I didn't know that. So, you know, here he is saying goodbye. And there's three different times in this chapter he says goodbye. And he was expecting to meet Titus at Troas and get a report, but Titus didn't come. And they finally met in Macedonia, and Paul rejoiced over the good news that Titus had brought. You know, he had a concern for all the churches. Can you imagine that heavy load? That here, as he shares the gospel and he gives it out, is it lasting? Is it staying in people's hearts? Are they growing? Or is there a lot of other stuff coming in? Well, we see a lot of other stuff today, don't we? Well, I can't imagine carrying all that. I just see Paul now. He has all the care of the churches, and he has all the care of the people, and the gospel, and the Lord. He didn't have any time for himself. And I thought, you know, that's really a sold-out ministry, when you don't have any time for yourself. I felt like that when my six kids were growing up. Where am I? But finally, they all grow up and leave, and there you are, getting acquainted with your husband again. It's interesting. Anyway, a couple things Paul always did too is he encouraged them and strengthened them. You see how he went back, he retraced his path on his journeys, and he went back and encouraged them and strengthened them. And I just have to ask the question, when's the last time you did that with another Christian? It's so easy to criticize, isn't it? It's so easy to let something else come out of our mouths. Now, I don't know if we have that map up there, do we, Julie? Yeah, right. Well, I hope you did a good job on yours. Because you're not going to see much with that. And I also asked my son, how did he get around? That was so hard. Did he wear out his sandals? No. He says, Mom, they just learned to walk a lot of miles. And, of course, where there's the Mediterranean Sea, they obviously were on, they weren't swimming, they were on a boat. So, bless. And we get so put out if anything kind of goes wrong. You know, the car doesn't work, it doesn't start, run out of gas, something else happens. And or you sit on the tarmac for 2 hours waiting for the plane to take off, and you think it's the end of the world. And yet, what if you had to walk? I thought, I would have been complaining all the time. That's for sure. So think about that, you know, today. Encourage somebody. Strengthen somebody. We need it. We all have problems. We all have unsaved loved ones. We all have health issues. And if you don't have it today, you will tomorrow. So it's tough. As I say, a good cry once in a while is good for you. So I really admire Paul for his courage and his stamina and his adaptability in spite of all the complications and his delays that he had and not meeting somebody. Can you imagine? You can pick up your phone and get a hold of somebody right away, and here Paul was waiting for Titus to bring a message, and he wasn't there. He wasn't there. And he had to wait and wait. I don't know what's going to happen if we ever have all of our cell phones go out at the same time. These kids today who sit next to each other and they're texting each other. It'll be good. We'll learn how to talk to one another again. So anyway, Paul was supposed to make it to Jerusalem. It's what he wanted to do. But he was stuck, and he was delayed, so he makes it by Pentecost. And I could go into the vow and the guys that shaved their head and all the rest of it, but we still don't know why. So I'm not going to get into that. And if you need to, I don't have a question box anymore either. No question box. We'll have to dig it up. Because questions are so important. That's how I learned about the Lord. I can still see myself. I was right over here asking some woman, where does Jesus claim to be God? This is how bad off I was. And I had a lot to learn. So questions are good. And don't shy away from them. Well, and then if you notice, we have a change in the pronouns. I didn't ask you that question this time because some of you would say, well, I never noticed that. But Luke joins them. So it's Luke, Paul, Titus, and Timothy. Wouldn't you have loved to sat in a Bible study with those four? Oh, it's been so wonderful. And they, you probably read over this really quick, that they met on the Lord's Day. Now, if anybody wants to argue with you why aren't we meeting on the Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath is not repeated in the New Testament. So we celebrate on Sunday. Now, in Paul's day, they met at night because Sunday was a work day. And we forget that. But no, we don't meet on a Saturday. And it's the only one of the Ten Commandments not found in the New Testament. We should be meeting him every day. How'd you do this morning? Oh, it's too convicting, huh? But don't just read over those quickly. This is where we get our format for our churches. And then always it was to cover a love feast, which they called communion service, and also always the Word of God. And always remembering his death and resurrection. We can become very familiar with it, can't we? And don't. Take time to think about it. Don't let it become routine. Well, the Lord's message always came through the preaching and teaching. And I know no one put down that their pastor preached all night. I know they didn't. But can you imagine if you didn't have the Bible, or if you just had the Old Testament, you would wonder, you would have a lot of questions, how does this all fit together? And my guess is that Paul used Isaiah 53 a lot and shared with them how that all works together. So anyway, he preached at night, and here's this fella up on the third story. I like this part of the story a lot because of my medication. I fall asleep a lot. And so here's Eutychus, and you know what Eutychus means? It means fortunate. Oh, wait a minute. He's up on the third story, and he's fortunate? Oh, he died. But guess who was there? And Paul went over and brought him back to life. Isn't that beautiful? It sure shows the love of God. But what a terrible note to end on. If that fellow had died, everybody would have been said, well, look at this, you know, and whatever Paul had said in his message probably would have been lost. So what a beautiful Savior we have. And, you know, Paul saw himself as a lot of different things in Scripture. Look for that. Sometimes he's an accountant. Sometimes he's a runner. Sometimes he's a steward. Sometimes he's just a witness. But in this one, when we get to the end of chapter 20, he sees himself as a person like a watchman on the wall. He warns the people. That is so critical, to warn the people. In fact, if I were a watchman on the wall and I saw the enemy coming, your blood would be upon me if I didn't warn you. So here's Paul saying, I'm warning you. I'm alerting you. I've warned you and warned you. And he was warning them about what? The future. And I thought about it so many times of today. I wonder what Paul would say about a lot of things that are on television in the name of Christ. I think he would probably feel very bad about it, or some of the other things that are going on and how churches are getting away from doctrine and the scriptures are being put aside. and so on. It breaks my heart to see that, because that's what brought me to Christ, was the Word of God. And I was a mess. I think I'm a mess now, but I was really a mess. It took me a long time to learn, but I'm getting it down. It's good. And the Lord loves you so much. But he was warning them about counterfeits that will exploit the church and will do it for personal gain. We saw that in the 80s, where they get so involved in money and broadcasting this and that and limousines and so on and so on. Pretty sad. But how are you going to know the difference if that's all you watch and you're not in the Word yourself? This is what teaches you, is the Word of God. I can't underestimate that. And I, your verses that you memorize, well, I don't like those verses. Well, you know, we're trying to pick up a bit of Acts so you have it in your heart and that you can pull that out. It's, you know, we were horrified over what had happened to those 21 Coptic Egyptians, and yet the voice of the martyrs cry out from the altar. God knows all about that. And how sad. But there's a danger among us of people coming into your church, and don't get on any kind of bandwagon of complaining about this or that. Don't do it. If you have enough on a list that you don't care about, then find another church. But don't destroy the one that you're in. There are people who are ambitious. They want power. They want a position. And it hasn't changed from Paul's day. Remember Diotrephes? He wanted to have the preeminence. That hasn't changed. There's always somebody wanting to have the preeminence. And then he marks out five sins here, and my guess is that, yeah, right over it, real swift. But don't. In Acts 20, verse 31, and he says, I remember for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. How serious was he? He was weeping for those people. And I just say that's carelessness. We get careless. And feelings, stay alert. And pretty soon something comes in and somebody else says, yeah, I kind of like that, or something else. And we're so off base with the scriptures and with the Lord. And the second one is shallowness. This is the one that bothers me so much. When you talk to other believers and you realize they don't know much about the Word. And, well, I've been in church all my life. Well, how about such and such and such and should I know that? Yes. This was written to you if you're a believer. And shallowness, carelessness, and then shallowness. And then we can't build a church unless God is building spiritual leaders. Are you praying that your pastor will have time in the Word of God and time on his knees before the Lord? He needs your encouragement. Are you praying that he'll stay out of any kind of mischief? Because it's so easy to slide into that and to basically waste time. Or covetousness, I can't say it, covetousness. Anyway, that's one of the Ten Commandments. And how many people there are, well, I want the women's work. I'm good enough to take over the women's work. Oh, you know, no. Don't ever volunteer. It's pray about things. God will put you where he wants you. And so don't covet some other person's position. You don't know what they're going through. And then laziness, that's what I got out of 35. It says, I have shown you every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. And I think that's, you know, there it is. It's so easy to get lazy, so easy to flip television on or music or anything except our brain and our heart getting right with the Lord. And that's true for every one of us, me too, especially. And then the selfishness of wanting to take and not give out. But if you know that Jesus loves you, that's half of the gospel right there. And he died for you and he's coming back. That's all you need to share with someone that doesn't know that. How much is the love of the Lord? And you don't have to be like Paul, knowing all the Old Testament and writing most of the New Testament. You just have to give out what you know. And they'll love you for it, especially if somebody's hurting, because then it's really easy to say, may I pray with you? They may not have any idea what that means, but go ahead and do it. We have a wonderful Savior. He's going to get each one of us safely home. I know it's kind of rough and bumpy right now, but he's taking us home. And we're going to have such a fun time in heaven. I just can hardly wait to hear the Lord's laughter. And I hope I can say something that will be funny to him. Because I think there's such joy that's ahead of us. Yeah, things are tough now, but God's in it with you. He's promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your word again. We thank you for the life of Paul. He took what he had and he gave it out like bread, like manna. And people were coming to faith in you, Lord, so that they didn't want their silver idolatry anymore in their homes. They wanted you. They wanted reality. Oh, Lord, give us a love for your word that we devour it and chew it up and it becomes part of our lives, that others might see Christ in us. Oh, they wept over Paul leaving. May we have that same kind of effect on others, that we love them so much that if we left their lives, they would be able to go on and learn themselves. Help us, Lord, we're most needy. And anyone here today that's really suffering, I pray that they'd be able to give those burdens to you, that they would lay them at your feet, and they'd say, thank you, Lord, you're the great burden bearer, that I don't have to carry these burdens around, but I can rest in you and trust in you. You've got today all figured out. You've got tomorrow. Lord, increase our love for you, and we'll simply give you all the praise in your precious name. Amen.